It's the nature of God to heal. Get a big amen from the matriarch. It's the nature of God to heal. We've been driving that home now for several weeks. And that the provision is already made. The provision is already made through Christ, through what he did on the cross. So I want to go and start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And really the goal of what these weeks are is not just for us ourselves to be in a place where we know healings for us and being able to receive it, but also that we be able to minister it. Because that is not put on the fivefold ministry alone. That is put on the believer. And so my goal, and I believe the ministry team's goal, is that everyone who comes here learns and is confident in praying for someone. We need to be. And so I'm not going to say comfortable with it, because sometimes it is outside of our comfort zone, but that we be confident in it, because it's really not about us. We're the vessel, and he supplies the power, right? So let's start off in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm reading out of the NIV, starting in verse 18. Man, I love this. It says, "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy," this is Paul writing, "was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." And I really like that version because, you know, the King James Version is all the promises of God are yes and amen. But in Christ, he's the yes and we're the so be it. We're the ones that proclaim that we receive it, Ed. So I really like that version. Healing's here. I know we've covered that, but it's present. It's not something off in the future. The provision is already made, and the answer is yes. If you have a question, if your person you're ministering to has a question, the answer, if there is a promise, the answer is yes. It's already been determined. It just needs a receiver. The provision just needs a receiver. And I love that. I think it's in 2 Chronicles 16. Y'all can correct me if I'm wrong. But the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro in the earth looking for someone that he can show himself strong to. And faith is that attractant. I like to compare it to a lightning rod. Some of you younger ones may not know what a lightning rod is, but it attracts that electricity, that power that's up in the atmosphere. It attracts it, and it brings it in. And that's what faith is in you. And so when we're ministering to people about healing, we need to speak the word to them enough or have enough influence with our love on them that they believe that they can receive. And sometimes that's a challenge when we're ministering. A believer is an eligible receiver. And you may think a believer is a receiver, but that's not true. A believer is an eligible receiver. Let's go to Mark chapter 11. I'm going to try not to get sidetracked with Mark 11 because there's a lot to be covered there. I just want to bring us to one point in verse 24. We'll start in verse 23. "Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." Believe you receive, and you shall have. Not believe and you shall have. Not believe and you shall have. believe, you receive, and you shall have. Now, that's getting really picky. But here's the deal. If I'm not receiving the promises of God, and I'm not seeing those promises manifested in my life or in those that I'm ministering to, I've got to be picky. Because it's not on God's half, because we've already read in Christ Jesus, all the promises are yes. They're yes. He's already determined. You're healed. Yes. Healing's for you. Yes. Your provision is made. Yes. He's a yes. God's a yes. He said yes in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say this again, because we had several people coming in during this, so I want to make sure that we get this. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe, you receive, and you shall have. Not believe and you shall have. Believe, you receive, and you shall have. So this is key when we're believing for our healing or we're ministering to other people. When we minister to them, do they believe they've received? Or do they just believe that healing's available? They just believe it's available, or do they believe they've received? Because when you believe you receive, that's when you shall have. It always am amazed at Acts 14. While you turn there, I'll have you say this. I'm not only a believer, I'm a receiver. We're not just a believer. We are also a receiver. Acts 14, verse 8. We've covered this in one of the other sessions in a different light. But there was a man at Lystra, and he was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked. In verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. So he heard Paul speak. Faith came, right? Who steadfastly beholding him, Paul was beholding him, perceived that the crippled man had faith to be healed. He perceived that the man that was still lying there had faith to be healed. He wasn't walking, but he perceived he had faith to be healed. And Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." I didn't yell at this time like I did last time. "Stand upright on your feet," and he leaped and he walked. It's like Paul just tossed him a ball. I'm going to use the football analogy, and I am not good at this, so I pulled from Tanya today. It's like Paul tossed him a ball, and he could either receive it or let it lie. And when you present people with a healing message, they can either receive it or they can let it lie. But what I want to know, as somebody that's delivering the word, Kayla, and as you're out delivering the word and walking the walk of Christ out there, I want to help people receive. And that's what Paul was doing right here. He was triggering something in this guy. He perceived he had faith to be healed, but he wasn't walking. And so he was helping him receive, and I want to know how to help people be a better receiver. I want to be a better receiver, right? What makes a good receiver? So I took my little handy-dandy notebook and went to Tanya's office today and said, "Teach me about football." I mean, I watch Braden play flag football, but, you know, we just sometimes hope the ball is caught at age 6. What makes a good receiver? Now, not everything she said applied to the walk of faith. Okay, but a lot of it did. The one I got out of just my thinking was a good receiver has attentive expectation. He's watching for it. He's watching for it. Attentive, he's alert, he's aware, and he has attentive expectation. A good receiver knows the play. He knows the will of the quarterback. He knows how to receive. He knows the ball's coming. He knows where it's coming. He trusts. He trusts his quarterback. He has to trust the one that's throwing him the ball. The receiver can shake off a defender. because there's something that's going to try to hinder you from receiving. Dylan, I needed you today, Mr. RHS Football. I needed you today. You were probably one of those guys keeping somebody from getting the ball, right? Okay, I'm just guessing. Speed probably wasn't your thing. It was probably more brute force. But something's going to try to keep you from receiving. And if you're going to be a good receiver, you can't get distracted by a 300-pound something coming at you. Your focus is on the ball. And if you've ever watched any NFL, it's amazing to me how those guys can catch the ball, Josiah being a sandwich between two 350-pound human beings, and still keep their hands and their eyes on the ball and come down with that thing. I mean, they're brutal. That's a good lesson for me. No matter what's coming at me, no matter what things look like, no matter the noise that I'm hearing, can I stay focused? Because a good receiver is going to stay focused. Man, Tanya gave me this one. This one went all over me. A good receiver operates off muscle memory. They have ran the same route in practice over and over and over and over again, so that when it's game time, it has become automatic. And that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you're studying the Word. That's what you're doing when you're saying your faith confessions. You're practicing. You're running it through. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me can prosper. By His stripes I have been healed. There is healing in His wings. He has healed me by His Word and delivered me from my destruction. What are you doing? You're running the play. And then when you wake up one morning and that pain comes, you've ran this play. Muscle memory. No, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you go back through and it becomes reality. It's real time then. A good receiver gets himself in a position to receive. It's not always convenient. There are other things on the field. There is somebody trying to keep you from receiving. But if you've watched a good receiver, they have a way of getting themselves in position to receive because that's what they've prepared for. They prepare to receive. As believers, we need to prepare to receive, and that's what I titled tonight, Prepare to Receive. Not just for ourselves, but preparing those that we're ministering to receive. Look, we can't just go slap healing on people. If we could, we would clear out the hospitals tonight. Why would we even be here? There is a way to minister to people and to help people receive, and Jesus was amazing at it, of course. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 and look at a prepared receiver. Tell me when you're there. Oops, Stacy beat y'all. Mark 5, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified, starting in verse 25. There was a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was not better, but instead she was growing worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. So, faith comes by. So she knew Jesus was a healer. And faith started building in her. I like to use my imagination. And I can imagine that she probably heard more than one story about Jesus. You know, and every time she would hear something about him, hope would come. Hope would come. And then by the time she heard it out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, faith was starting to come. And she had heard these reports about Jesus. And so she came up behind him in the crowd, in the throng, and touched his garment. For she kept saying, this is her practice field. Verse 28 was her practice field, muscle memory. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I will be restored to health. If I touch his garments, she kept saying, if I touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. By Jesus' stripes. But she didn't stay there, folks. She didn't stay in her house and keep saying that. There came a time when she had said it, and it went off in her, and she heard Jesus was coming through town, and she went through, pushed through the crowd, which was wrong for her to do. She wasn't supposed to do it according to their society. She did it anyway because she wanted to be healed. And so she went through, and immediately, verse 29, her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of that distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, he turned around immediately in the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? Now y'all tell me where Jesus decided to heal that woman. It's in his nature. It's the healing nature of God. He didn't even know who touched him. He felt power, King James Version says virtue, go out of him. And so he turned to see who had touched him. But he did not decide to heal her at that moment. He had decided. It was in the Passover lamb. It was in the serpent on the cross. It was laid out in type and shadow through the Old Testament. And he was walking that out. Who touched my clothes? Verse 31, and the disciples kept saying to him, you see this crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask who touched me? And still, he kept looking around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had been done in her, though alarmed and frightened, she fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing disease. She set a time to receive. She set a time to receive. And building your faith is a great thing, but there comes a time that you have to decide to receive. Not just believe, but receive. That's faith. You know Hebrews 11. Faith is when? Now. Now faith is. Faith is always present tense. Hope is always in the future. Now faith is. So she set the time to receive. She prepared to receive by saying, if I can touch his clothes. Then there came a point that she had to put into play what she had been practicing in her mind. And she reached out and she received. That's beautiful. Smith Wigglesworth said, it's a good thing to hope for something, but it's a better thing to have it. That's a real simple statement, but that's so true. Smith Wigglesworth, his healing ministry was outstanding. So I like to read him because I can learn from him. It's a good thing to hope for something, but it's a better thing to have it. So there comes a time to act and to receive. When Jesus came to town, healing was in reach. It was there. It was present. But she had to receive. Jesus didn't set the time. She did. And he didn't turn to make a decision to heal her. He already had. Just like he already has for you. And healing was present in his nature. Healing is still present. And I like that word present because it doesn't just mean it's here. It means now. Present tense. Healing is present in his nature. He doesn't turn it off and on. It's a virtue in him. It is part of his nature. God's not up there flipping a switch on healing. It's on. That's what we read in the beginning. It's yes and amen. He says yes, and we say so be it. It's yes. It's not an on and off switch that religion has taught us. It's on and it's a yes. And when she made contact, her body was changed. Now I want to talk about this word virtue. He felt power, or he felt virtue. The King James Version says, go out of him. You know what that word virtue is in the Greek? Anybody got a clue? Dunamis. Dunamis power. We've talked about that word a lot on Wednesday nights. That word means power to perform or miraculous power. He felt miraculous power go out of him. Thayer's says it this way, and oh my goodness, I love this. He says, inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's the healing nature of God. It's the nature of God to heal. Healing was in Jesus. So that's what was drawn from him. Thayer says, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Jesus felt a draw on his power. He felt a draw on his healing virtue. He felt a draw on his healing nature. And if you don't know it's his nature, you're not going to draw. It's his nature. Right now, right where you sit, nothing has to happen other than you receiving his word. It's his nature to heal you. And it's easy to receive when we see it that way. And that's what we're working on. Oral Roberts coined a phrase, point of contact. And that's what this woman did. She reached out and touched Jesus. She needed that point of contact. Now, next week probably we'll talk about the man who didn't need that point of contact. He said, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. But this woman needed a point of contact. That's what she had rehearsed in her head. If I can touch his clothes, so that's what she did. And a lot of people need a point of contact. So when you're ministering to people, we have to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's telling us and how to minister to that person and not get ourselves in a box of this is how we minister, but what is the Holy Spirit saying that that person needs? And so she needed a point of contact. He explained it, Oral Roberts explained it this way. It's through a point of contact that you let your faith go to God. It's like, in other words, it's a point of contact is when you release your faith. This is it. This is when I receive. When I touch his clothes, I will be made whole. It's that point of contact set the time for her, and it was important for her mentally, and that's involved. That's involved, and it's important for us to know, especially when you're ministering to other people. He also referred to it as a point of expectation. And I really like that. Because whether you're ministering to somebody or you're being ministered to, for it to be a point of expectation. This is it. This is it. What happens if you don't feel it? No, this is when you receive it. And I go back to Michelle Steele's quote that I use all the time. Sometimes the body's the last to know. But you receive and you shall have. You receive. You set a time to receive. You receive it by faith, and you shall have. So I like that. Point of expectation was also a good one to me. Jesus used it in the scripture when he would touch people. He would lay his hands on people. He put spit and mud in one guy's eyes. I would love to know why on that one, but apparently the guy needed that. He needed something physical to help him receive, and Jesus gave him that. But it sets a time to receive, and I think it's important that we remember if people need that, do it. Mark 16 is our example of laying hands on the sick that we refer to. Mark 16, starting in verse 17. Man, this first phrase in here alone will get you. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. That doesn't put it behind a pulpit, folks. That puts it where you work, where you go to school, when you're out on the ball field. These signs will follow them that believe. I just have to ask myself if I believe. If I believe, then in his name, I can cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Take up serpents, and if I drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt me. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And that's either for me as a believer, or I'm not a believer. And so we've got to put it where it belongs. This is nothing unusual. We tend to make laying hands on the sick something that's rare. And if somebody gets healed, it's rare. It's not supposed to be. The believer will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it happens a lot more than we know because sometimes we forget to give God the glory. And we need to be letting it known. Eddie back there, how long has it been, Eddie, since you've been on the breathing medication? Over a year? No more asthma medications, no more breathing treatments. Y'all didn't get near as excited about that as Eddie is. Eddie's excited. No more asthma medication, no more breathing treatments. Eddie can breathe. He can breathe because the power of God and the nature of God to heal him. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, these signs shall follow them that believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. When you lay hands on someone, that is your point of expectation. And it's their point of expectation. It's your point of contact. And it's their point of contact. It's you releasing your faith and it's them releasing your faith. And that is powerful. My desire is that you all be equipped to pray for the sick and that you want to. That you want to. Sickness is a thief. It'll steal your joy. It'll steal your energy. It'll steal your time with the people that you love. It'll steal your money. It's a thief. And it should make us angry. And I've got to get back to that place where when anybody says anything about physical ailments or sickness or disease, that's something, goes off on the inside of us. Smith Wigglesworth said this, sickness should make us angry. How will you ever reach a place where God will be able to use you until you get angry at the devil? That's good. Sickness should make us angry. How will you ever reach a place where God will be able to use you until you get angry at the devil? I read a book by Oral Roberts this week. And my favorite part, you know, when somebody says something different than the way we've always heard it, man, sometimes it can just light something in us. And if you've gone to church here all your life, like I have, that's why we need to read other people and bring other people in so that sometimes just one word change can set something off in us. And this is from Oral Roberts. He said, sickness is an intruder. And just the difference in that word, Greta, sickness is an intruder. How do you feel about when an intruder comes into your property and tries to take what belongs to you? Well, if Satan is a thief, he's come to steal what's yours. And health is yours. Remember, it's the children's bread. We've read that. We studied that. It's the children's bread. It's provided to you. It's yours. And if something comes to steal your health, that's an intruder. That should make us angry. I'll try to get through reading you the quote for Moore Roberts. Sickness is an intruder. It's not part of the plan. It wasn't devised by God's will. I love this part. It is not native to the kingdom of God. Isn't that good? doesn't just set something off on the inside of you. It is not native to the kingdom of God. We live in the kingdom. And sickness is not native to the kingdom. Jesus came forth to challenge the intruders and cast them out. And he's given that to us. Jesus came to challenge the intruders and to cast them out. Matthew 16, 9, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth is what's already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose and declare lawful on earth is what is already loosed in heaven. If it's in the kingdom, you loose it in the earth. If it's unlawful in the kingdom, then you bind it in the earth. And that sickness and disease is one thing that Jesus hammered. Everywhere he went, he was bringing healing and offering healing. Whether it was sin or demons or sickness or weakness or even fear, if it wasn't native to the kingdom, Jesus challenged it. We're learning. Jesus presented the kingdom, and we are called his ambassadors. And it is the kingdom that we represent. Health is a kingdom benefit. It is the children's bread. And Hebrews 6:2, you can study it later. Tanya and I preached to each other today, calls healing foundational, fundamental, a principle that is foundational in the doctrine of Christ. Not rare. Not something way out there. Foundational. It's because it's present. It is so readily available. Right now in this atmosphere, the availability of healing is within your reach. Jesus came to town. And it's within our reach. Can I read something to you? This is Bible study night, right? So I've also been reading Kenneth Hagin's Healing Study Course, old book. This goes back to our electricity example. Dylan, Mr. Electrician. This is Hagin talking, but he's referring to John G. Lake. He said, Reverend John G. Lake said, electricity is God's power in the natural realm. But Holy Ghost power is God's power in the spirit realm. You see, just as electricity is in existence in the natural world, the power of God is in existence in the spiritual world. And just as there are laws that govern the operation of electricity in the natural realm, there are also laws that govern the operation of spiritual power. The problem has been that in times past, we have thought that if the anointing was present, it would automatically manifest itself and just work automatically. That's just not so. For example, electricity has been in existence in the earth since God created the universe. But did electricity just automatically light up a house, cook a meal, or warm or cool a house? No. Because for many years, man didn't even know electricity existed. But it was there. It was there. It was there all along. Even after electricity was discovered and man knew it existed, it didn't automatically begin to operate. Man had to come in contact with it and somehow to make it work in his life. Well, if we could just get into our minds the fact that the healing power of God is in existence in the spirit world and that it also has laws that govern its operation, then men and women could learn to tap into that power and be blessed by its benefits. That's where we've missed it. we've thought, well, if it's so, it'll just manifest. Is that good? If God wants me healed, he'll just heal me. Oh, he provided it. And it's in the atmosphere right now, even as we speak. There's something that has to be done on man's end before there will be a manifestation of healing power. In the natural, there came a time when man knew about electricity. It had even been manifested in a measure. But man had to learn more about electricity and the laws that govern it before he could fully enjoy it and before he could gain the greatest benefits. In the same way, with God's power, the anointing, that simply means that as we learn more about into that power, the Word of God says about it, we will be able to flow with that anointing, tap into that power, and gain greater benefits from it. Now that we understand something about the power of God as heavenly electricity, as it were, let's extend the analogy a step further. In the natural, when you turn a light switch on, electricity flows right into that light fixture and lights up the room. When you turn the switch off, the lights go out. So in the spiritual realm, the thing that turns on the heavenly power could be called the switch of faith. Isn't that good? I mean, I could read on, but I just, it's here. It's here. And it's present. We have to turn on the switch of faith. We have to become aware of it. And it's not complicated. It's pretty simple. When you believe that you receive, and you shall have. The question is, do I believe that I receive? Do I believe that I receive? Or is my believing off in the future somewhere? Look, hope's great. We all start off in hope. We hear about healing, and we're like, is that possible? Did Jesus really? And that puts a spark in us and that brings us to life. But we have to go from believing to receiving. And this is a hard lesson. And y'all, I've lost some really important people in my life. I have laid in the bed with friends and prayed healing over their bodies, and I have done their funerals. That's some stuff. That's some tough stuff. But I'm not going to quit because of that. Amen. I'm going to pick up Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts. I'm going to let people who have shown the fruit of God's healing power teach me what they learned. And I'm going to read the scripture and I'm going to ask God to open it up to me. Because I know it's his desire for you to lay hands on the sick and to watch them recover. So don't get mad at God. His answer is yes. Yes. Do it. Lay hands on them. And we talked about this before, but Oral Roberts' answer to the reporter's question, what do you do if somebody comes in the healing line? You lay hands on them and they die. He said, I say next. Why? Because we believe. And we're learning. Don't get discouraged in your learning. Keep praying for people. And don't put it off when they ask you to pray. Delayed prayer. Be confident enough to say, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Because there's something that waters down people's faith when you delay. Look, strike while the iron's hot. If they say, will you pray, even if they're meaning in their mind, like when you go home, you pray for me. How many of you know you forget when you go home? The dishes are on the counter. The kids have to have their homework done. You got to clean up after your roommate, whatever. Why not while they're asking for divine intervention? They obviously have some kind of faith to ask. And it doesn't have to be loud. If you're in Walmart or you're cutting somebody's hair, it doesn't have to be a show. When they are believing to receive, Who are we to delay that moment? I don't see Jesus delaying those moments. Yeah, he was on the way to raise somebody from the dead, or and somebody interrupts and comes up, and he didn't delay it and say, wait, I got to go take care of this. You remember the messenger then came and said, your daughter's dead. It's nothing to God. His intent is life and health. Let's talk about how we help people receive. Okay? We've got a few minutes. I want you to be prepared to give me some ideas. So if you get something, write it down. Okay? How do we help people receive? You know, out on the street, not everybody has said in services, right? Jesus ministered to people who did not know him, who had only heard that he was a healer. How do we help people receive? And I just want to start off with the most obvious one, which Jesus showed us so beautifully. We got to be led by the Spirit. We don't need to get ourselves in a box. And if he says spit in the mud, rub it on somebody's eye, then that's what you do. And in my lifetime, because of my parents loading up the kids and hauling us to meetings all over the United States, you couldn't watch meetings on the internet back then, y'all. You went in the car. And we would sit through these amazing, amazing camp meetings and watch some really weird stuff. But you know what we saw? What we saw, Josiah, was the miraculous. So yes, the scripture talks about laying hands on the sick. But if he tells you to do something else, it's okay to say, God was sent you. Okay, it's okay. God, if that was you, bring that back to me. I remember my dad teaching me that. You know, it's okay. You're not being rebellious when you say, God, if that was you, bring that back to me. Bring that back to me. I mean, I have seen Kenneth Hagin haul off and hit somebody in the stomach where the tumor was. I'm not telling you to do weird stuff for the sake of being weird. I'm just saying, Jesus spitting in the mud and smearing it on some guy's eye was not socially acceptable. So be led by the Spirit, which is going to take you praying in the Spirit. It's going to take you being prepared to help people receive. Ask God. If you know you're going to minister to somebody, ask him. Maybe you need to give them communion. Communion's a beautiful way to bring healing to people. Maybe they need that tangible symbol. Maybe they need hands laid on. Maybe they need a book. Maybe they need more word. I mean, just be sensitive to the Spirit. Ask him. And if you're in an instant where you didn't have time to prepare, you're already prepared, right? Because that's how you choose to live as a follower of Christ. You're prepared. Jesus didn't always have time to go off in the desert and pray right before he did something. He went off in the desert to pray so that when things happened, when he came out, he was prepared. And that's the way that's what we're working on. And for me, that means going out sitting on the swing. Going out sitting on the swing by the pond. Walking around on the farm and just praying. And if he doesn't give me anything specific, that's fine. When something comes up and presents itself, you just know what to do because you've taken the time to prepare. One of the ways I've watched ministries do it that I think is powerful is they state the will of God by stating the word of God. Because remember, we talked about this before. A lot of people's hold back on receiving, they don't have a clue if God wants them well. They don't have a clue if healing is possible, and they certainly don't have a clue if healing's for them, especially if you're dealing with a non-believer, or I'm just going to call what Jesus would call them, a sinner. He loves to heal sinners. There is no greater witnessing tool in all the world than Jesus setting somebody free. So don't think this is just for believers. And the gifts of the Spirit can come into play there, and we'll teach that another time, gift of healing, where they don't have to believe. But if you're dealing with a non-believer, somebody that has a question, answer that question. You don't have to speak it in King James Version. The Word says that by Jesus' stripes, you are healed. The Word says if a believer lays hands on you, you're going to recover. So would you like for me to lay hands on you? Because I'm a believer. State the will of God by stating the Word of God. Get rid of that question mark for them. Be confident in your authority to pray. This is what we are to do as the body of Christ, the works of Christ. And if you need to practice at home, praying like you're pretending, like you're praying over people, I used to do this as a little girl because my daddy would have a healing line and call me up there to lay hands on people. And we may start doing some of that around here. I won't do it if you're not willing. But if you're willing and you want to walk beside me as we're laying hands on people, then let's do it. Let's get confident. But when you pray for people, don't be wimpy. Don't be iffy. They need the strength of your faith. Be confident in your authority to pray. Be sensitive about when to pray. Look, if you've got time to feed them the Word and build their faith, do it. I remember my dad ministering to my great uncle, and he would go every single day to the hospital at Little Rock, which wasn't far because at the time, I think, did we live in England then? And we lived in the south part of the state then. And he would go every day and sit on Uncle Henry's bedside and teach him the Word. He didn't pray for him right away. We need to be sensitive to that. Do we need to feed people the Word? Of course, if you're never going to see them again, or if they need it right then, they're in pain. Do it. But sometimes people need to build their faith. Be sensitive about how to pray. We talked about that. There's all kinds of different ways that we'll talk about in future sessions. There's anointing with oil. There's the prayer cloth. There's laying on of hands. There's all kinds of ways that is scriptural. Man, testimonies are great encouragement. Y'all just heard about Eddie. No asthma medications. No breathing treatments. For over a year. That's past allergy season. So, you know, if you can give testimonies to people, give glory to God and see what happens. Right? This woman went through that crowd and received her healing from her long-term illness because she had heard. Because she had heard. Post it on your social media. Are we that grateful? Are we that grateful? Do we want people to know about the healing power of God? Or are we concerned about what people will think about us when we post that we have been healed? Testimonies are great. People can't argue with testimony. You can't argue with that. You can't argue with the fact that Mr. Dean from Clarksville has not had allergy shots in 15, 20 years. You can't argue with somebody's testimony. It's living proof to people. I remember Dad doing this when he'd pray for people. And I can't say that I do it enough, so it's a refresher for me as well. It is perfectly, perfectly truth to say, the anointing's here. The anointing's here. Healing's here. And it's not because Dad felt anything. And Anna, this is important. It was important for me to know watching him, because when he would say it, and I don't know how much you remember Dad ministering, but he taught me a lot about healing. He would say, healing's here, the anointing's here. And Brett, when he would say it, He wasn't feeling anything. He was saying it because it was the truth. It's the word. The anointing, healing, is present. It's present. It's present because it's in the nature of God, and God is here. And Dad's face, his very skin texture would change. I can't even, what it was is the tangible anointing would hit. When he would state to the person that he's praying for, the healing anointing's here. The healing anointing's here. The healing anointing's here. The healing anointing's here. And boom, it show up. So when you're ministering to someone and you can see that doubt on their face, you are not lying to speak. The anointing is here to heal you. The anointing is here to heal you because the anointing is here to heal you. The anointing is here to heal. The anointing is here to heal. The anointing is here to heal. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your very nature. We thank you for the healing virtue that is present in this moment. Oh, your anointing is here to heal. Father, we thank you that there is no decision to be made is already made. Father, we thank you for your healing anointing that's here. It's present, Father. It's present. And no thing has to happen other than a believer and a receiver. And we have both. We have both, Father. And I thank you that as Anna lays hands on our sister, that the healing anointing of God starts at the top of her head and flows through her feet and perfects everything in her body, everything balanced, everything brought into the realm of health. Because you are healing. You are healing. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and we give you praise. The switch is on. The switch is on. And your healing power flows through her body. Perfecting. We challenge the intruder. We call it out. And healing is in its place. That is the nature of God. That is the bread of the children. We thank you, Father. We praise you. We give you honor. Jesus, thank you for those stripes. Thank you for those stripes that you took for our bodies to be healed and to be made whole. And we'll not allow the intruder to invade what you've paid for. We declare it, Father.